Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Dr. Ward, and I'm always ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Hey, remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. Hey, man, go to the website, click on the tab that says the code so you can learn the codes of conduct that was created to help black people coexist in a better manner, because this R. Kelly stuff is all off code. Learn more about the organization, how to contact people, see the whole PAX family, get frequently asked questions, how to become a member or donate, get involved, and hover your mouse over the more tab and get the learning center in the store and all that stuff. So make sure if you want to be down, if you want to be somebody in life and be cool, visit www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, our home base where we put it down, we stay down, and we be down on all the current topics and all the information, news, resources, and things that we do to connect to our community, because the whole purpose of the Freedom Train podcast, just the whole Freedom Train network, is to connect our resources, information, and community members together. All the people who are assets to the community, we want to connect them to the community. So www.freedomtrainradio.com. That's how we get down and we be down. Hey, Pat, man, what's going on, B?
Not much, homie.
You sound like you got a little cold.
Yeah, I'm trying to come down with something. You know, stress keeps you sick, so, and I've been stressed lately.
Yeah. Hey, man. Woosah, you need to meditate, though.
I need to relax. Like, if I had the money to just go somewhere for, like, a week and just be there and not worry about nothing, I think that's what I need.
What I want to do, I want to go to a beach and don't have to wear no drawers. Be straight.
Well, I don't know about all that, but... but it would be nice to be able to just go somewhere and just not have to worry or think about nothing. Just
straight up.
You know, I miss the old days when before technology and before, like, you was considered lazy if you slept for more than an hour a day. Back when, you know, like, people lived together in their little wood houses or whatever, and you grew the food for the family. What a lot of people don't think about is that during the winter years when you couldn't grow shit, they didn't do shit. Like, they literally, during the winter months, they literally just sat around the house chilling, waiting for spring.
Right. We want to get back to that.
Right, man, I would love to have 3 months of the year where I could just decompress, just unwind. Obviously they were still doing some things, but the bulk of the day was spent just kind of enjoying each other, being a family. You know, maybe you clean up here or there or this, that, or the third, but if you snowed in, you snowed in. If the ground ain't producing, it ain't producing. So, you know what? When I grew up and become rich and start a company, I'm going to mandate my employees take at least 1 month paid leave to just do whatever 2 times a year. Mandatory. Just take a whole month, just sit at home and scratch your balls if that's what you want to do. You're getting paid for it. It's not coming out of your leave or nothing like that. It's just, it is what it is. Go and decompress. We got some psychiatrists, some shrinks over here. Talk to them motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
You stretch your mind right.
Right.
Right. You scratch.
Well, yeah. Got to wash your hands. Got to. But, you know, if you in the house all day scratching your balls, then maybe you don't have to wash your hands. You ain't got no company.
Remember that song when you were growing up? I was walking down a hole, scratching my balls. Mike got caught in the elevator wall.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
See, I went to bad schools.
Speaking of bad schools.
Hey, before we get into it, hold on. Still got a little couple pleasantries.
Oh, okay.
Tell them about your Patreon.
Man, we do this every goddamn week.
I don't care. Tell them about your Patreon.
So we got a Patreon. Look, it's the new way of supporting shit you like. So if you like what you hear, then scurry on over to Patreon. Patreon. This is Patreon.
Yep.
Patreon. Anyways, .com.
The mummy said Patreon.
Go on over there. You go to /thefix. You go to /LFTS. You type the / those words or letters after Patreon.com. And it'll take you to those pages where you can give to what we got going on. If you like it, you can give per month, you can give per episode, per every time something is published, whatever. If you really want to support it and see us grow, the days of big corporate sponsorships and all that, those days are coming to an end.
It's over, B. The power's in the hands of the people.
Right. The internet has brought us back. Nowadays, if you really like something, you can't count on, you know, a freaking credit union or somebody else to sponsor it. You got to sponsor it. So go on over there. That's why you're getting all the notifications on your news sites every time you go to New York Times or something. They're like, yo, look, we ain't got advertisers like that. We need y'all to come through. So it's the same with us on the Freedom Train Network. We just like the New York Times. We need y'all to come through. So head on over to Patreon. Hit us up that way. Or you can hit Joe up and donate directly to us through him, you know, whatever y'all got going on.
No, I do, man. Hey, like you said, patreon.com/thefix. Hey, and shout out to Professor Carlton Jones for becoming a patron on The Fix. I appreciate that, my brother. One time, 100, 1,000, 1 million, 1 trillion, 1 billion, all that. I appreciate that. And I appreciate Pat. He a patron on my own Shoulder Giant. So, already, that's how we get down. Patreon.com, all that stuff there. Support us. Hey, and if y'all want to contact me, y'all want to talk, Pat not going to talk to you online, but I will. So, on Twitter, I'm @JoeWard84. And on Instagram, I'm The Real Joseph Ward.
The Real?
The Real Joseph Ward. And on Facebook, I'm just regular Joseph Ward. Don't type in just regular. Just type in Joseph Ward. And that's how we get down. So, I mean, because we talk back. If y'all talk to y'all, got questions, comments, freestyle songs, monologues, whatever you want to get off your chest, holler at us and we talk back. Or you can comment under these posts, too. So we talk back. That's how we get down. Hey, man, so what we talking about today, we got our pleasantries out. So what we talking about today is the young girl from Miami Gardens who had the 300-point increase on the SAT scores, and the white folks say she lying and she cheating. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the black girl and St. Hell, goddamn Florida on here twice. Florida been tripping, man. So talking about the black girl in St. Pete who got attacked in the McDonald's, who had to put them paws on that white man in McDonald's. We're going to talk about that. And, of course, we got to talk about Robert Sylvester Kelly. We got to talk about it. I just want to say this off top. Off top, R. Kelly, if I ever see you, it's on site. I want to say that.
Motherfucker.
For every man who calls himself a man, Robert Sylvester Kelly should be some on site shit. It shouldn't be no discussions, no talk, no thoughts. You see him, hands on site. Same thing with like George Zimmerman. Hands on sight.
Well, not the same thing, because George Zimmerman ain't been catching them. So we want to be a little bit.
No, what I'm saying, they both deserve.
Oh, I get you. They both deserved it.
Yeah. But before we get into our topics, we do want to take the time to give our condolences to the family of Jasmine Barnes, the young lady who the young girl who was shot and killed in Houston, Texas, by some dumb fucks. So just want to give a little quick moment of silence for the Jasmine Barnes family. All right. And from what we see, it looks like they have two suspects in custody within that case. So when we get a little more information about somebody actually going to jail, somebody getting their ass whooped, whatever, we'll keep y'all up to date. But we just want more information more things to develop into that before we kind of dive all the way into the Jasmine Barnes. But we did want to let people know. We know we are a pro-black platform, so we do want to let people know that that is on our radar, but we want to gather a little more information before we kind of really go in on that, because we want to go in on the dudes who are guilty. So we want to make sure we're going on the right people. But that's a sad situation, and we got to clean up our community. But back to Pat, when he was talking about going in on academic institutions, because, like you said, the first topic we're talking about is the young lady from Miami Gardens, or AKA Carroll City, Miami, who had this Camilla Campbell. She had the 300-point increase on her SAT scores, and she's trying to get into Florida State. And the SAT people in Florida State, now, I don't know if Florida State is on, I don't want to put Florida State, but the SAT people saying she cheated. So what you think about that, Pat?
I was reading a lot of comments, and it seems like this seems to be more common than we think it is, and amongst black people anyways. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people think that it's, you know, common or whatever, but I was reading about in this group on this website where there are a lot of black people who are talking about how their kids have had their scores invalidated after making large improvements. So I'm thinking racial profiling, of course. And I know a lot of people are like, well, how can they racially profile? There are a lot of ways you can do that, and this ain't the show to get into that. But, I mean, her score jumped from a 900 to a 1200. She had a GPA of 3.1. And, you know, she spent the whole year practicing, studying to improve, everything like that, and her score jumped 300 points. Now, a 900 is not a particularly great score. That's in the bottom 20th percentile. So, and then a 1200 is in the 70th percentile. So that's a 50 percentile jump. But to me, I'm thinking like I said before the show, she probably went into the first one cold, without having studied, not really knowing what was going on, and she bombed it. And then she studied, got prepared, and she came into the next one prepared and ready to go, and she showed what she was really capable of. I don't understand how the SAT... Go ahead.
Well, I'm reading right here, because it's saying the ETS is the independent company who offers the test. And it said Camilla said the first time she took the test last year, she didn't prepare for it. There's no preparation. But then when she took the test now, she has prepared for it. And this is a statement by Ben Crump. It is not for ETS, a private corporation, to define the limits of human achievement and betterment. In conducting that, the only way Camilla could have improved her score so substantially was by cheating. And so that, you know, they're defaming her character and replacing what should have been an appropriate motivation of personal pride with shame and confusion. Like ETS, that company, they is full of shit. But it's just, I'm with you though, like basically they are saying that this young black girl doesn't have the mental capacity to improve her score the way she did, because, I mean, shit, black people just don't do that, right?
Yes,
and I highly doubt we'd be in this situation. This would happen to a young white girl. I highly doubt that. But the fact that we're sitting here talking about this, because when I first saw this When I first saw the story, I was thinking that they actually caught somebody cheating. They didn't catch her cheating. They're just saying, oh, well, when you turn the test in, because you have a 300-point increase, that, nah, that can't be true. We don't have no proof, but that can't be true.
They flagged her scores, and I'm looking at a statement from the company. It says, our preliminary concerns are based on substantial agreement between your answers on one or more score sections of the test and those of other test takers. What? Right. Why are you comparing my answers to the answers of other people? Maybe they didn't study. Maybe they didn't prepare. Maybe I know more than they do. Maybe I think about things differently than they do. Maybe I know less than they do.
But so basically, they're saying these smart white kids, there's no way you should be, your test score should be higher than them, even though you do have a 3.1 GPA.
Well, they're probably thinking that, and even to that, that's where I was like speaking to shitty schools. Because if you got a 3.1 GPA, even if you're taking the test cold, to score 900 on an academic readiness test with a 3.1 GPA in the bottom 20 percentile, your school sucks.
Well, you know, these schools don't really prepare these kids for these things. Even though the schools have gone to only test-taking modes of educating, the kids are still not prepared for it. So, I mean, it's, hell, we just, like we were talking about before we got on, like, our school, man, our school prepared us to be criminals. Let's just be real. Like, I tell people all the time, the fact that I'm here where I am in life, never been arrested, I'm alive, like I actually have stuff going on in my life. I'm competent. I ain't hooked on no drugs. I'm not homeless.
You ain't never been arrested, Joe?
Nah, I ain't never been arrested.
Oh man, you ain't lived till you've been arrested.
Hey man, I try not to do that. But it's people don't understand, man. Like, we didn't come from the worst environments. We didn't come from a bad environment as far as crime and things like that. We came up from a bad environment as far as lack of resources and information.
Crime was pretty bad.
I mean, crime was, but we didn't really understand what was going on around us though. Like,
we grew up in it though, so it was normal for us. It's kind of like you take a kid that grew up in Chicago in the mid-90s or in the early 90s, that's normal for them. They don't, you know what I'm saying?
No, I do, because I just wanted, when I went to the store earlier, like about 2 hours ago, I went to the store up the street. The apartment's right across from the street. Somebody just got shot and killed.
Yeah, like I remember going to sleep. Like, you know, when we lived off Houghton Street and in various projects, because we lived in all of them, my mom wouldn't let us go outside, you know, and we would go to bed, the gunshots. So yeah, the crime was there, but it was normal. It was like, whatever.
I mean, that's true. When we lived on Putnam Ave, I'm on Putnam Drive on the south side, like,
yeah,
we knew that when the gunshots started ringing out, it was about 9:30 time to go to bed.
Yeah. Frenchtown or South City, whatever you call it.
I mean, I do get that, but it seems like, and I don't want to minimize the crime, and it seems like I am, and I probably am, but it seems like the lack of information and resources had a bigger impact than the crime.
Oh, of course it did. Of course, I would agree with that.
So I mean, and I guess I can look at it like that, but it's just academically. Like I told you, bro, I don't remember which one I took. I don't know if I took the SAT or the ACT. So when I have conversations about that with people, I don't know which one I took. All I know is that I had to take it twice. And hell, I guess I didn't do that good because second semester of college, they put me in college prep.
Yeah, you know, nobody really, because that was like nobody really pushed it at RIT. Like, not for me anyways. nobody really taught college prep. Nobody really taught.
Well, see, the only reason it was somewhat pushed with me is because I ended up being round up and grouped up with the football players that the coaches was actually trying to help get to college. So since I was with them, or they might have had a ride with me, I get to go along and take the test too. But there's no preparation for it, though. But think about what I'm saying, though. The football coaches had to get us to taking the test, not the teachers.
Yeah, I never got no college nothing from NAM teachers except for Coach Carter.
Right.
Sam Carter. But that was ninth grade earth science. Nobody was really thinking about college or paying attention to anything he was saying about life when he was teaching us earth science. Like, you know, some stuff stuck. That's why when he came on the show, I was like, oh, shit, I remember. But we really, ninth grade, 13, 14 years old, 15 years old, you really ain't thinking about it. When you think about, man, she got a big booty, and I'm trying to put something in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but
I
don't know.
I feel bad for this young lady, though, man, because it's like for Camilla, yeah, Camilla Campbell, I feel bad for her because her name and her reputation is being drugged through the mud because she did what she was supposed to do, buckle down and study. Like, she spent 12 fucking months studying for the test, and these crackers have the nerve to tell her, oh, nah, you did too good, so your ass had to be cheating because there's no way you should be doing better than these little white kids. That's that straight bullshit.
But to what you just said, these 200 or 300-point improvements are indeed pretty common for kids who actually study.
I know you got the stats. I know you got them. Give them.
Yeah, I'm looking at this this prep school, this prep scholar program that they have specifically designed to help increase your scores in the SAT and the ACT. And it says that the average score increase when you use their program is 251 points. So, like, it's not that far outside of the realm of possibilities. It's a regular thing for people who study hard and work their butts off to improve their score by magnitude of 100 or 200 points. It's not a hard thing to accomplish.
Unless you black and in Florida. Hey, man, like I'm not... I guess because we've been in Florida all our whole life, we didn't realize how fucked up Florida was. Because now being able to see through the lens of people who are not in Florida and react, because we know crazy stuff happens in every state. We know that. And there's no way to determine whether more crazy stuff happened in Florida than New York and stuff like that. But it's just Florida. The spotlight is on Florida, and Florida just keep fucking up with the spotlight on. Like, but also, the racism that's inherent in Florida is on display now. So people can, I hope people are starting to see that, yes, this is the vacation place with the beaches and all that stuff. They got Miami and Orlando and Tampa, but it's still the South. This is the South. Like, of course, you know, we have the luxury / unluxury or the disadvantage, rather, than because we live in North Florida. So we get the Florida stuff, and then we get the real racist white people stuff. So, but I just feel bad for her, man, because, you know, they're delaying her to get to college. And if Florida State tripping, baby, come to FAMU, baby. Come to FAMU, you're going to get right. You're going to get you a good education coming to FAMU. Trust me. You're going to get you a good education. It's Florida State tripping. Matter of fact, you shouldn't be thinking about Florida State anyway, but if so, but I ain't going to say that. I'll take that back. But
I don't. You shouldn't be going to Florida State. Fuck Florida State.
I just wanted to go to FAMU or BCC or Florida Memorial rather than going to Florida State. Because, yeah. I mean, academically, though, just academically, you know, FAMU is a better school.
Yeah, fuck Florida State. I mean, I know she don't know that because she ain't in Tallahassee. Or maybe she do. But
no, I don't think. Okay, that's a lot of people in Tallahassee that don't realize, because you remember growing up how much vitriol older black people had toward Florida State. I didn't know until I became an adult why, because I always looked at the old people like they was crazy, like, well, what? Because nobody ever said what Florida State did. Then as you get older, you realize old black people who are FAMU faithful don't like Florida State because Florida State keep trying to buy up FAMU and dismantle FAMU. So, yeah, fuck Florida State. But, yeah, man, I just wish the best of luck for this young lady. And I hope Ben Crump and them do what they need to do, because Ben Crump is the family's attorney. So I hope they do what they need to do to make sure this lady's name get cleared and she can get into college and do what she needs to do. And fuck the ETS test taking system. They some bitches up there.
I really think black HBCUs are duh. I really think HBCUs need to lead the SAT, ACT model behind. We need to come up with our own culturally competent tests that we're going to apply and we're going to value in terms of being educational establishments. I think that's the least HBCUs can do, is move away from tests that are known to be culturally biased. And I don't understand why they haven't done that yet, but I understand that that's a whole nother conversation.
Funding.
They barely getting any of that as it is.
Well, I mean, you didn't ask how much, but... I mean, just real quick note, let's just be real. Because we talked about it when we had Carl Poole on the show. HBCUs been fucking up for a long time. HBCUs are not preparing black people to go win in this world, because HBCUs themselves are not equipped to even prepare black people to go win out in this world. They do the same thing white colleges do. Create workers. Create drones. Create ants. They don't create creative people. So you got to be a fucking rebel. Like, you got to be a rebel, man. You got the people in school who you thought was crazy with their ideas, those ones out here winning. So, but that's the story that's going on with Camilla Campbell and the what is it, the educational testing services, who telling her that because she's of a young black girl that she's not smart enough to have a 300 point increase, when Pat just gave you the stats that's actually fucking common. So fuck you, educational testing service. All right, so let's move on, man. Let's move on. Still in Florida, unfortunately. Moving up the street from Miami to St. Pete, this white cracker at McDonald's, I think they say he got mad over some straws, and he jacked the black girl up, and she had to put them paws on him.
He was homeless too, wasn't he? Or was he not homeless?
I don't know. He grabbed her up. She had to put them paws on her. But the most, like, one of the crazy parts of the film, I'm watching it. Like, who's making these bitch-made black dudes?
Bruh.
Where are they being produced at? So you see a grown white man grab a young black girl, and your first thought is to grab her?
Exactly. That's the part that set me off.
If you're going to do some grabbing, grab him. Why would you grab her? Who's making these punk-ass dudes who, when real stuff come down, they do bitch shit like that, but when somebody step on their shoe, they're ready to fight every black person?
Them dudes, none of them dudes in that store, them four black dudes in the video, yes, I'm talking directly to y'all.
Bitch.
Y'all can't prove it to me. I don't believe you. And from For the rest, until you show me something different, I don't believe you. That's just what it is. There's no way in hell I see a grown-ass motherfucking white man grab a black woman, and my first instinct is to grab her and prevent her from defending herself, trying to restrain her. Are you kidding me?
Man, because it could have went worse. It could have got worse. Like, she could have got seriously injured messing around with this white dude and this punk-ass dude grabbing her. Whoever that dude is, he hit ass. Whoop. Like, I got to...
Like, it wasn't like... And luck of everything, white dude wasn't fighting back.
Right.
Because if he had her and y'all grabbed her, y'all just compromised her ability to defend herself. So,
man, it's like,
I was like, yo. And even to that, just based off the common whatever of not wanting to catch something, I'm naturally going to want to restrain the least active person. Because I don't want to try to restrain you and you throwing hands like crazy and I get caught with one.
Man.
Like, so, I don't know, bro. Man, that
you
shit. Somebody,
you came into my store, you finna get jumped.
Bruh. All four of them black dudes, man. Y'all just set black men back at least 5 years with that bullshit. Y'all know we're in the middle of trying to reestablish ourselves as protectors of black women.
Around with R. Kelly.
Right.
I want to do this shit.
And now we got this shit came out like a week or two before the R. Kelly documentary is dropped. So now black men just sitting here looking like ass. All around ass. We not defending them. We not defending our daughters. We letting motherfuckers rape them. We letting motherfuckers, like, this shit, what the fuck? Like, that shit. That same Pete McDonald shit, man.
Like, that's why I ask, like, where are they making these bitch-made ass, heartless ass, coon ass dudes at, man? Where they making these cats, man? Because I've been black all my life, and I've been listening to black men send threats to other people or how they shoot, kill, do all this shit here. But when the shit come down to the come down, these black dudes, I'm looking at the video now. Like, the dude's first reaction is to grab the girl with her name, Yasmin. I'm glad she got hands. Like, man, that dude, man, they should have mopped the flow with that cock, man. You got to mop the flow with somebody like that, man.
He damn sure shouldn't have been able to continue ordering after it was over. Like, he should not have had the ability to continue to order after that happened. Like, this dude, he gonna leave the store with a little headache, but feeling good about himself.
Man, blood should have been leaking. His blood should have been pouring from him.
Bruh, he should have, like, he definitely should have been leaking from something. Nose, eyes, ears, blood should have been leaking from somewhere. They should have put varying degrees of the fear of God in him to where the moment if he even see a black woman and think about shaking her goddamn hand, he should break out in a cold sweat.
And but the thing that's making me mad is they're just like, oh man, well hell, it's okay because she a former boxer. No, the hell,
no, fuck all that. Okay. Fuck all that.
It ain't okay because she's a former boxer. Too many goddamn men failed in this video, and think about it. Well, we've been at this point, because a lot of us are just really realizing, but white. We keep telling y'all, white men, look at this punk-ass dude, man. Look at this bitch-ass dude. And the other fuck boy come from around the corner. And then now he want to walk around the corner. Man, but like, white people don't fear us. We told y'all that before, a couple shows ago. We told y'all that white men have no fear of black people, especially black men. They have no fear of us, and that's why they do the shit that they do. We got to start protecting ourselves. Like, men... As a man, your job is to protect women, especially black women, but protect women, period. That's your job as a man, protector, provider, protector.
And they really go hand in hand because you should be able to provide protection.
But it's, and then like the video, I got the video playing in the corner here, my computer, and it's just like, After the dude let him go, let the girl go, the other dude just standing around looking, no, man, I'm going to hit you. You finna catch these hands, bro. We fighting. We fighting. I got these McDonald's gloves on, and they finna be sticking on your face. Because we fighting. Because you violated everything when you came in here, and you decided to put your hands on Yasmin like that. We got some bitch-made-ass dudes up in this world, man. I don't get it. I don't get it. James, I don't know the motherfucking name, James. I'm just saying some shit. What's the motherfucking name? What's the what? Over some fucking straw. Man. What's the white boy name?
You talking about the white boy that got fucked up?
Taylor. Last name Taylor.
I don't know the name of the white boy that got fucked up. He's just the white boy that got fucked up to me.
Old that white man named last name Taylor. They 40 initiated the attack. Man, it's just watching the video set me off. It made me mad. It made me sad. It made me disappointed. I don't like adults. But adults have been failing our youth for too long, and nobody wants to call it out. Like adults have not been doing a good job. Nobody want to call it out. Grown people, I don't know, man, but because somehow that's the only way you can produce dudes like this who, like you got to do a better job of protecting black women. Like that white man should have been leaking. There's no way he should have walked out of there normal.
No, I don't know. I'm with you. That video outraged me. Even to the people that I saw trying to defend
what happened. Fuck
you. You know, trying to
defend that.
Yeah, like, I was like, yo. Where these people come from that think that everything can and should be defended. Who are these people?
Man, it's some dumbass people out here. I got to stop judging people. Bitch, shut up, man. Everybody get judged. Everybody get judged. Judgment is what the fuck happens. That's how I can go get a job as a motherfucking judge. Shut your stupid ass up with. Only God can JK, man. Bitch, you judge people every day. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, but there's a whole book in the Bible called Judges. So, I mean, you know, that whole don't nobody, but that's another example. Generations fucking up the generations that come behind them. That's exactly what that is. Because we got to understand, culture is getting worse because the prior generations are failing to prepare and adequately instruct the next generations. So they're growing up ignorant, stupid, with a God complex, and they passing on that to the next generation that's running with it to the next level of shit. Like this, that whole don't judge me shit, that's the whole purpose of living in a society. That's how societies maintain themselves. People judge people. You know why it's not okay to murder people? Because everyone has decided that if you do that, we've all agreed collectively to judge you in a negative manner. If you steal, same thing. If you, you don't hear nobody, these people, can't nobody judge me. And then somebody hurts steal something from them or hurt somebody that they're close to, and now they passing all kinds of judgments on the person that did it. I thought, can nobody judge nobody? Why are you judging this person? Because they stole your purse, they stole your car, they stole your man, or they stole your woman, or they, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. That shit fucks with me.
Because people.
I'm just trying to live my best life. Well, I fucked up too.
No, you ain't. But people don't get it though. Like in trying to live your best life, the worst comes out of you. Like people don't get that. Like the worst comes out of you when you are there trying to live your best life. It's all about me. I'm just focused on me. People focus on themselves until they need help.
And that's the crux of the problem right there, though, is even how do you define your best life? Because if you define living your best life as I'm going to do me, I'm going to get mine, I don't care what y'all think, blah, 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 then you are an extremely selfish asshole, and living your best life is going to be at the detriment of the world around you. You know, why does living your best life have to involve you shitting over other people? Why does it have to involve you taking advantage of other people or other circumstances? And if you say, well, that's because that's what everybody else do, then I would say that you're not mature enough to live your best life.
Yeah, you a bitch then. I mean, just call it what it is. You saying it in a nice way, but straight up, you're not mature enough. It's like you. It's not cool to shit on somebody else to get to try to get to where you're going. Like, you don't have to participate in the fuckery. You really don't. But people choose to do that because people just choose to be fucked up, man. It's like it's not okay. Like the stuff when people talking with this R. Kelly stuff. Like, man, we're learning a lot about folk, man. We're learning a lot about people, but it's just like, I know you say you ain't watch it. But
no, man. I'm gonna tell you why I ain't watched it before you start. Because I didn't have a beef with R. Kelly since the PP tape damn near 20 years ago. I think that tape came out in 94. 95.
Man, I'm looking at a post right now. Somebody, y'all still listening to Michael Jackson or no? Oh, okay. Nobody has proof that Michael Jackson did anything. This is a grown woman. This is a mother. This is a mother saying this.
Now, look, the Michael Jackson thing, to my knowledge, all of the kids have come out and said their parents made them do it. And then, to my knowledge, there was never a tape of Michael Jackson fucking or doing anything inappropriate with children.
Man, fuck. Look. Ain't no music that good. This same mother was like, she still gonna listen to R. Kelly because nobody is condemning the pastor. So basically what people are saying, black women who are mothers are saying that we will continue to allow Robert Kelly to be a terror in our community because y'all don't go after these other people who terrorize in our community.
Yeah.
No. That should be a call to round everybody up, you dumbasses. And if everybody, and I'm just saying this straight across the board, and if you don't like it, you catch their hands. Anybody who is trying to defend or even remotely agree with the shit R. Kelly doing, you's a bitch, and everything about you is a bitch. Your whole life is shit, and your parents should have pulled out, and your mother should have swallowed. And if you don't like it, you can catch their hands.
I just don't. Because it's basically saying it's okay for him to be fucked up because everybody else is fucked up too. That's not how you solve the problem.
Right.
And my beef with, I didn't have an issue with R. Kelly since the 94 PP tape. And
I had a problem with R. Kelly when I was in the fifth grade when I realized that he was married to Aaliyah when I was in the fifth grade.
See, I didn't find that out until after the PP tape. Because after the PP tape, I started researching R. Kelly. And, of course, the Internet wasn't big like it was then, or like it is now.
Right.
But as the Internet came online, I started just gradually checking in on people who I found interesting, good or bad. R. Kelly was in the bad category. And I just started just reading more and more and more about how shitty Buddy was. By about 2010... I was officially done with R. Kelly and all things R. Kelly related. I would leave a party if R. Kelly songs came on. If I was in the car with somebody and an R. Kelly song came on, I didn't even care if it was their car. I would turn it off and we would have that discussion. And I don't care if they was cursing me out. They was cursing me out long enough for that song to go off. And then they turn their radio back on. R. Kelly's back off. You feel good. I feel great. Everybody's happy. But so I didn't watch the documentary, and then NPR came out with a report about how R. Kelly had this cult of women locked in his house, and blah, blah.
Yeah.
After all of that shit, I was like, this documentary is not going to tell me nothing that I don't know.
No. It is. It's what it is. It's getting more in depth on the things that was going on, because you find out how many adults were complicit in helping this shit happen.
But yo, we know how many adults. You think R. Kelly?
No, we didn't.
You didn't think his wife, his brothers, his mothers, his family members.
His wife didn't know.
That's bullshit.
See, according to the documentary, according to everything that's going on, he had a well-constructed operation to where his wife had no idea what was going on.
What's his wife doing now? Does she know?
She's telling now, but her part in it, because what we did find out was R. Kelly was he beats women. I didn't know that because I never dug deep into the R. Kelly story. I just cut him off.
Okay. In that sense, I get you, because like we talked earlier, and I said I have a tendency to believe that if I know something, everybody knows it. And you're basically making the case that, hey, Pat, that's not true. So, especially for those people, because there are a lot of people I know that did, they just cut R. Kelly off. They didn't look into it. They was just like, fuck R. Kelly. So for those people, okay, so I get what you're saying. For me, I knew he beat women. I knew he had a circle of adults around him that were complicit and in a lot of cases complimentary and in a lot of cases assisting in his predatory behavior. I knew that he used to troll schools. You know, I knew that his managers was involved. I knew that family was involved.
He was having threesomes between 14 and 17 year olds.
I knew that. And when I read and listened to the story on NPR, and this was like in January or February of 2018, that was the first time I had heard about the cult of women he had in his house, underage girls. And then I went and looked that up. And that was, I think, when you heard me ranting and raving about R. Kelly early last year, it was because of that article. And that, because there was an audio interview with it from the person that wrote the article, said he had been reporting on R. Kelly for over 20 years. And they asked why he kept coming back to R. Kelly, and he was like, because nobody's doing anything. And so I'm happy. But the bad part is, with everything that we're learning about R. Kelly, right, his streams have gone up 16% since the damn documentary started dropping.
Hey, man, let's just be real. Like, I'm looking at this post now. Somebody talking about, didn't Elijah Muhammad have sex with underage girls? Yeah, and Malcolm X called him out for that shit.
Right, and left the nation.
So I don't understand, like, what... For grown men, because I've seen some dudes who are here talking about their black power out here trying to defend R. Kelly and then trying to blame the young girls. For all you ignorant people, you do realize that a 16-year-old's brain is not fully developed. So a man 25 or above, any adult 25 or above, their brain is fully developed. So if your brain is not fully developed for you dumbass people, that means that you are missing certain cognitive abilities to make sound decisions, because your brain has another 9 to 10 years of development to happen. And so if you see some little young teenage girls out here doing some stupid stuff, because why? They brain not developed, so they going to do some dumbass shit. But that doesn't mean that the grown man is cleared of anything because the young girl out here, or they're talking about, I keep hearing, seeing the post talking about, well, it's not his fault, it's the fault of them fast-ass little girls. Man, if I see that one more time, I'm slapping somebody in their goddamn face. But it's parents with daughters.
Because they're stupid and they're not thinking about. I'm not gonna say they're stupid. I'm gonna
say
they're not. They're not thinking.
They are stupid. Fuck that. They're stupid.
They're not thinking about. You know, I think adults tend to forget what it was like to be a child. You think you know, and that makes you even stupider, because you think you know. And every dude on the planet knows that if we know how to get what we want out of a young child, especially a young girl, because 9 times out of 10, she's naturally craving that male attention, and she don't know no better. It's easy to manipulate young girls. And by young girls, I'm talking anything under 20. So for all of these 18, 19-year-old girls who think they're grown women, you are physically.
You're not. You're
but
not.
I can still play games with your mind mentally.
Hell, I can play. Man, bro, they had one woman, and she met him when she was 35 and still fell for everything that went down. Like, because she was, quote-unquote, super fan, dog. They're talking to, like, it was one girl, Azriel. She, you know, lied to her parents to go meet up with Kelly. She met up with Kelly at a hotel. Like, she was 17 at the time. Her first encounter with Kelly, they had sex. Like, this, the family hasn't seen their daughter in 3 years. Like, R. Kelly them literally has their daughters in this thing, and they haven't seen their daughter, they and another girl named Joycelyn. They've been missing from their families for 3 years.
According to NPR, there's a whole harem of girls that have been missing.
But my question is, like it was one, like, the Azriel girl, you got a mother and a father, and when they say they confronted R. Kelly about, no, it started when they was at an R. Kelly concert. They brought that, first of all, they brought their daughter to an R. Kelly concert after the whole Aaliyah and everything, because they knew about his reputation. But then the daddy and the mom was like, well, if we right here, then it'd be okay. First mistake, adults out here fucking up. You know R. Kelly's a sexual predator. You take your child away. But then they agreed to let R. Kelly work with them in various capacities as long as somebody was here, somebody was there. So the isolation tactic was going to be deployed. And it was deployed. And so that's how they haven't seen their daughter in 3 years. Ain't no way. You know where his studio at. You know where some of his houses at. Ain't no way. I would have rounded up some homeboys or told my wife, look, when I find them, I'm going to prison. And we looking for R. Kelly. And if R. Kelly ain't going to come out, we're going to force him out. You want to mess with my family, R. Kelly? I'm going to go mess up your family.
But, because it doesn't matter. And this is why I really do. And I know a lot of people that listen to R. Kelly. And I say it plain. I lose respect for people when they say they still listen to R. Kelly, because you become complicit
right in
everything that he does. He still has super fans because you still support him. He's still able to survive and live and be a superstar because y'all still support him, and he uses the power of fame to attract these young girls, to manipulate these young girls and grown women.
It's the reason he liked girls between 12 and 19. Shit. It's the reason.
And y'all are complicit. Every single one of those girls that he's abused, y'all are basically accessories to the crown, in my opinion.
It was one point in the documentary where you had a whole bunch of grown-ass men and women talking about their role in this. They need to go to jail. All of them need to go to jail. They lucky it ain't 1700s. They would line their ass up on the firing squad. If you was a part of that, you need to go to jail. In any capacity, I don't care what your capacity was, your asses need to be. Anybody who faces on that documentary who admitted that they helped R. Kelly be the creep that he was, they should not be safe. It should not be safe for them to exist in their neighborhoods, male or female. Right, if you were a full grown adult doing that, and you are complicit in helping him, like, come on, man, like that, like we were saying earlier, his ex wife, according to her testimony, she had no idea he was doing that stuff. All she knew was she was getting her ass whooped by him. That's what she said. I don't have the information to say she lying or not. That's what she put out. But he had a brother named Kerry Kelly. That's the one, you know, when he got off and they said, well, it wasn't him, it was his brother in the video. So R. Kelly has an older brother that's in prison. And the older brother, he a sick bastard. Just as sick as R. Kelly is. He was like, he thought the younger brother, Kerry Kelly, was crazy because he didn't take over $100,000, $200,000, however much R. Kelly was trying to pay him to take the rap for him and all these things. And he was like, man, you could have been rich. Is you crazy? And he's sitting up there in prison. Man, shut your bitch made ass up. You son of a bitch. You piece of shit. You waste of sperm. R. Kelly is a waste of sperm. His older brother is a waste of sperm. And every other adult male and or female who was complicit in helping him run that shit, all of them are waste of fucking sperm.
I don't get it. R. Kelly's music is not that great. And really, if you listen to the lyrics, like, I was breaking out a bunch of R. Kelly songs for my wife, who was like, you're thoroughly ruining R. Kelly for me. And I was like, good, he should be.
Man, fuck that. Like, but see, why shouldn't he be ruined?
Like,
what are you holding on to?
Like, one of his songs, It Seems Like You're Ready. Everybody loves the song. Everybody, blah, 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 blah.
Now it has a whole new meaning now.
Well, if you listen to the lyrics, some of the stuff, and this might just be me coloring it from everything I know about R. Kelly.
No, you're not. Cause so I'm going to say this. Say what you're going to say, and I'm going to reinforce that. Go ahead.
Because it seems like you're ready. Doesn't that seem like something that you wouldn't say that to a grown-ass woman. You would say that to a child. It seems like you're ready to be a woman.
One of the segments of the series is called Hiding in Plain Sight. With songs like that, my mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes. Age ain't nothing but a number. The Pied Piper, the Chocolate Factory. Like, R. Kelly was telling what he was doing in his music and in the titles of his albums and the names that he was giving himself. Like, he was telling on himself.
Like, and even going, you see, so we going back to Seems Like You're Ready. He says, he says in the song, I'm looking for the spot, I got it pulled up now, but somewhere in here, he says, don't be afraid, I'm not going to hurt you. Why the fuck would you say that to a grown woman during a sexual encounter?
Man.
Why would she even be concerned that you're going to hurt her?
They have people in there talking about how he has one girl who I think the Joycelyn girl, she's been with him the longest, and her job is to train all the other girls to be able to please him sexually. Like it's a certain way he likes to do this and a certain way he likes to do that and all these things here. And then the singer Sparkle, the old girl Sparkle, she's talking about how the girl who got peed on in the video, that was her niece. She introduced her to Kelly. But according to her, she didn't know Kelly was this monster, this creep he was. But after everything happened, the girl and the parents and a lot of other people, uncles and everybody, denied that R. Kelly did what he did, even though the girl is on tape in front of everybody getting peed on. Right. They talking about it didn't happen. It happened. So. It's like, how much were y'all paid? You mean money? Come on, money got to be involved. So money is more important than the safety of your child.
Of course.
That's crazy, man.
Of course, man. We've known money is more important than damn near everything. And that goes into the cultural corruption that we have to deal with. We talked about this last year when he dropped that goddamn 20-minute I Admit song. What a motherfucker admitted to basically every, like, if you listen to the song, to
he
me, just listen.
He admitted.
So when I like young girls, that don't make me a pedophile. Yes, the fuck it does, Robert. We said, that was, like, we talked about all of this same shit when he dropped the I Admit song, talked about him being illiterate, talked about him not owning his masters, talked about him being broke, talked about him raping and being, being a pedophile, talked about him being a sexual predator, a monster. We talked about all these same things. But people heard I Admit, and they was like, this dude is a musical genius.
Man, they had one part on that where they had one young girl talking about how she was like 16, 17, whatever. She met him. She met this motherfucker doing the trial for the pee-pee tape.
But that shows the power. And people really don't understand the power of fame. The power of fame is not in the wealth. It's in the control over people.
Right. Because, like, people know his reputation. As a parent, you know his reputation, but then you still allow your child to interact with this person. And that was like the daughter sent threats and all that. Man, look, me and my daughter would have fought, and I would have went and fought R. Kelly. First of all, why are you with my daughter alone? And my daughter, first of all, hey, you are never leaving this house again. Matter of fact, you almost 18. Something gonna happen to you, but R. Kelly, me and you, I'm calling the police on you after I beat your ass, because that you know better. You know he might not. I don't know, but
he knows better.
I know he know better, but you lured somebody's daughter to a hotel, and then because you know, like we've been teens are stupid. Teenagers are stupid. A teen like one couple. I think this is the same couple. They got an older daughter. The older daughter found out what was going on with R. Kelly, but because R. Kelly threatened to hurt their family, she didn't say nothing. She called the parents right after that, but then didn't say nothing. Hey, man, I'm going to have to pull your card. We're going to have to pull R. Kelly's card on this one. You're going to have to show me you're a killer. You have to prove you're going to make somebody disappear.
But a teenager doesn't.
I understand that. I'm just saying from my perspective.
I do understand, because you got a lot of people out here nowadays. They want to call themselves super parents. Well, I wouldn't. Let me tell you something. The same thing I told Joe before the show. I skipped school half of ninth grade and a good chunk of 10th grade.
Yeah, parents, you can't stop your kids from doing nothing.
You can't. We are all dependent on the good judgment of other people in society to protect the children, because it is physically impossible to watch your child and monitor your child 24 hours of the day. If your child wants to get away to do something, you as a parent can't stop it.
Because teens are stupid, no matter how much you do for your child, no matter how much this or this or that. Teens are stupid, so it's not on that. But that's why I keep saying, if I was the dad, me and R. Kelly going to have to see it. Like, we would have fought. We would have fought. I would have probably shot that. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done, but I know we would have fought.
R. Kelly is on site, bro. On motherfucking site. I don't care. Jail, prison, I don't care.
That's how he should not be safe out here in these streets.
He should not.
And once again, I'm calling out all you grown men and women who keep trying to defend R. Kelly's actions, because y'all like fucking sons. You fucking sick, low-life pieces of shit.
But you know
that's
what
you are.
You know when I was done with them, when R. Kelly got pulled off Spotify, and there was such a huge backlash that they went back and just added his shit back. That was when I realized black folk care more about his music than they care about his victims.
Like, we got to call out Tom Joyner. Like, they had Tom Joyner in the documentary, and he was saying Tamar Burke, the original founder, creator of Me Too, if she wouldn't have called Tom Joyner and told him and asked him to stop playing R. Kelly, Tom Joyner would have still been playing R. Kelly, and they was on there talking about that. But they was like, they were talking about their role in helping the predator atmosphere be continued. But they were talking about it in a way of like, well, you know, I mean, my shit wasn't that serious though, so you know, I'm not that big. But no, yes, you are.
The mere fact that they're comfortable enough to speak about their roles in continuing rape culture on national TV without fear of reproach, that's a problem in and of itself.
But it's like, the crazy thing is, those girls, a lot of those girls are our age now. Like, we're the same age as a lot of those girls. And it's just like, it's crazy because I know after the P tape and all that other stuff happened, we still listen to his music and those things there. But then I think about it, we was kids, though. Like, we were kids. We didn't know no better. But it was the adults around us who knew what was really going on and didn't say anything.
But
like,
you know,
R. Kelly hasn't done anything significant ever for people to be supporting him the way that they are and defending him.
Well, and you know what's interesting is when you meet, I know probably about 20 or 30 people from Chicago. And out of that 20 or 30 people, about 70% of them know somebody that's personally been affected by R. Kelly's predatory behavior. So this ain't even like it's a small number of people, because all of these people don't know each other either. So you're talking about a community that has been affected by this dude's actions for more than 30 years.
Right.
But people are willing to excuse all of that because he made a song called Bump and Grind.
That they like, because he cut the 12-play album. And music, man, y'all are pieces of shit. That's what you want. The pieces of shit in our community are being exposed, and it's time to take out the trash.
Yo, R. Kelly, I said this in the chat. R. Kelly is the black Donald Trump. You know how everybody's always like, how can anybody still be a fan of Donald Trump? How can anybody still believe a word that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth? All of these black people who are running around questioning how Donald Trump still has a fan base, look at R. Kelly.
Right. I mean, but people don't look at that, because nobody wants to be accountable for their actions. People don't want to feel like they fucked up when you out here fucking up, even though you out here fucking up.
And that's my hesitation. I'm always willing to tee off on R. Kelly, as you can tell. Because we've had like 3 or 4 shows about R. Kelly in the last year.
Yeah.
But it's not. It doesn't move the needle. It's not going anywhere because people aren't going to accept their complicity in his predation. And you can't, like, for me, that's almost a litmus test question. How do you feel about R. Kelly? Because you got people out here talking about R. Kelly is, look at, they trying to destroy R. Kelly, white supremacy. Look, I disagree with that point strongly. Strongly. One, why would they wait until R. Kelly's on the ass end of his career to destroy him? Doesn't make sense. There's no tactical or strategic advantage for white supremacy to destroy R. Kelly right now. Two, he's only fucking with black women. When have you known white supremacy to care about black women like that?
That's one thing that people were saying. It's like, if R. Kelly was messing with white women, he would have been in jail.
Would not be a R. Kelly if he was doing the shit he was doing to black women.
But so now we have to deal with the realization that black women also don't care about black women. So are black women the white men of the black community as well? No, man, just let you
kind of swerve that back around. Interesting.
but think about it. But I'm just saying, it's the that behavior is what caused that boy Damon to write that article, though, right? Behavior that upholds the culture of rape and sexual violence. Isn't that the stuff that Damon said, what makes black men the white men of the black community?
Well, I do think that black women do have to acknowledge that they have internalized a significant level of misogyny.
But
they have.
That's all I want them to do.
Just like the black people in general have to accept that we have internalized a large amount of white supremacy racism. So, and most of the black women I know that are thinking about it on those levels, they can at least admit, yes, like one of the strongest black feminists we know, Dawn. Even she admits on plenty of occasions that she has internalized misogyny. You know, feisty red.
I mean, but we, on some level, we're all going to internalize misogyny. But when it's overt and blatant and actual predator who's out there, like, preying on a number of women, like, come on, like, we got to call out the black women who are still supporting and was complicit in that. That has to, like, nobody is absolved from that. If we call it, because we call out black men all day. We call out black men all day, so we got to call out the black women, because grown-ass men and women were a part of R. Kelly being able to do this for over 20, 30, and he's still doing it now.
Yeah.
It's still going on to this at this moment right now.
Let's not act like this documentary terminated anything. But to me, that's where you get to the cowardice of the situation.
Bruh. Just a couple weeks ago, not too long ago, we see videos of R. Kelly in South Africa with women wiping sweat off his brow and him licking towels and all these things here. Packed out arenas of women.
Yeah, I mean, bro, I'm right there with you. You know, every time somebody bring R. Kelly up, I can't wait to launch into it. That's why I said, look, on site, it is what it is. But I just don't think anything's gonna happen because black people feel the way they feel, and the reason we keep, me in particular, the reason I keep focusing on black people is because I can acknowledge the majority of R. Kelly's fan base is black. They are. The bulk of the people that made R. Kelly R. Kelly before white people started fucking with him was black people. And now, even after white people have largely forgotten about R. Kelly, it's still black people holding him up. This documentary coming out, I can assure you that huge surge of people that have gone out and streamed his material, I'd say a good 80% of them
black women
are black people.
Right, but that's one of the things that they were talking about during the documentary. It's like whenever especially when the tape first hit, the PP tape when it first hit and things first coming out, like the music that R. Kelly dropped. He knows all I got to do is drop some music. Like, that's why he dropped the I Admit not too long ago. And you see how many people talk about, man, R. Kelly is a genius, man. R. Kelly, this and R. Kelly. R. Kelly is so smart. You got to separate the person from the music. Nah, not in this situation. In this situation, we're not separating the man from the art. No, because the art is a part of the damn problem. The art is a part of the problem. Stop that. But if somebody sexually assaults your children, we supposed to care.
Yeah,
fuck out of here, man.
The art enables his predatory behavior. So you can't separate them. Because if there was no art, R. Kelly wouldn't be able to do the things he's able to do
He would have been in. He would have been locked up dead somewhere.
He would have either been locked up or some daddy would have killed him. Or some mother would have killed him. Somebody would have killed him.
I'm just surprised that hasn't happened yet.
He's protected by celebrity, though. People meet R. Kelly, even when they know better, they become starstruck.
So that's like I say, it's so powerful that during the PP trial, he befriends and gets into a relationship with another underage girl and more underage girls and all these things that happen. It's like wow, really? But it also shows the lack of whatever ignorance and all these things that come with young people. I don't want to just say young girls, but people with undeveloped brains. People with developed brains have a significant mental advantage over people with undeveloped brains. And it shows in that of how the man is on trial for some shit that he on tape for, and the young girl sees it and None of that matters. Even now, like people who are meeting him now, people know what's going on, and none of that matters.
Mm-mm. That's the power. We really underestimate the power of celebrity and fame, and I think that's because a lot of people try to pretend like it's not that big a deal. Like, oh, well, if I met such and such, that woman, you know, they put their pants on one leg at a time just like me. Yeah, you say that shit until you bump into one of these motherfuckers. Then you turn into goddamn 16-year-old white girl and she just meet goddamn Backstreet Boys or some shit. People don't realize how much of their own emotional behavior they have vested in these celebrities, how much of their own emotional well-being they have attached to motherfuckers like R. Kelly. And until we can get people to understand that you're not a fan, you are actually worshiping this person, and yeah, that is not okay.
That's what it is with this R. Kelly and these other celebrities. They're literally being worshiped, and that's why people act like they can't see straight. They can't see the light. Like, they're not my God. And it's like, man, fuck. Ain't no music that good. Ain't no music that good to be harboring a fucking sexual predator because, oh, I like a song or two, or I like an album, or all this here. Oh, because he dropped Step in the Name of Love. Fuck that, and fuck you, you piece of shit. You ought to be ashamed. If you listen to this and you feel bad and you offended, good. Kiss my ass, and if you got a problem with it, come catch these hands, because your ass should have been shut down a long time ago, right along with R. Kelly, because you ain't shit and your life ain't shit, and yet all y'all need to be thrown off a fucking cliff or something, because you part of what's wrong in this fucking community with your old ass still out here harboring some fucking damn sexual predator with this dumb shit that you got going on with your old asses. Y'all just about as worse as he is, you stupid bitches, and if you don't like it, hands.
And that's why I said I ain't gonna watch it. I probably will watch it, but I'm not going to.
It's sickening, man. It's just sick.
I'm gonna probably pirate it, if I'm being honest, because I don't want to support nothing with R. Kelly's name on it, even in a bad. And I did the same thing with Floyd Mayweather. Not that Floyd Mayweather is anything similar to R. Kelly, but I didn't pay for none of his fights, man. I downloaded them, I pirated them, and, you know, feel however you want to feel about that. I got the bootleg, man. You know, I bootlegged all his fights because I didn't want to support him, you know, especially once he got the reputation for being a woman beater. I can't support right. that, bro. And it's the same with R. Kelly. I cannot support R. Kelly. So when you listen to his songs on the radio, you're supporting him. When you listen to him through a streaming device, a streaming app, you're supporting him. When you buy the records, obviously, if you buy anything with R. Kelly's name on it, you're supporting him. When you watch shows with him in them, or when you watch shows about him, you're indirectly supporting him. I can't be a part of any of that, man.
People are fucked up, man. They're mad. They're not mad that R. Kelly's a sexual predator. They're mad that you're trying to take their music away from them.
But look, Joe, what you just said, ain't that what we experience all the time with white supremacy? Black people don't be mad that white supremacists happen, that racism happens. They're mad that you told them about it. They're mad that you ruined their bubble of ignorance.
Right,
they just want to be able to blindly enjoy their lives. And R. Kelly is nothing but another extension of people being cowards. Shit don't change.
We got a community full of fuck-ass cowards. That's what we have. And it's sickening. It's sad. And all y'all people need y'all asses whooped. You need to grow up.
And that's what we need, a documentary that isn't attacking R. Kelly, because you ain't going to do nothing but strengthen his base. We need a documentary that's attacking the people. Fuck that. Make these people feel uncomfortable about supporting R. Kelly. And they're all going to say, you can't make me feel uncomfortable. So do your best. Might as well give it your best shot. Really try to make these people feel nervous and uneasy about supporting R. Kelly. Go directly after them.
But it's just like, it's
And, hold on, Joe. I'm not calling for people to go out there and start shooting or beating R. Kelly fans. That's not what I'm saying.
Nah, all right, go ahead. I wouldn't even. That thought didn't come in my head, but.
It's just
for me, man. Like, it makes me feel like the work that I've been doing for the last 10 years has been for nothing. That's what it makes me feel. It makes me feel like we didn't do enough. Like, but well, I know that's not the case. Well, I'm just talking about. No, I mean, as a whole, yes. But I'm just talking about, like, the men that I've been working with over the last couple of years who've been doing stuff, who've been doing a lot. But as a whole, you're right. We haven't been doing enough. But it feels as if, because working inside the world of sexual domestic violence prevention, seeing how much effort and energy and all these things that go into shutting down stuff like this, and then the cold reality is, that's an environment of people who get it. Then we have to come out into the world where the majority of people don't give a fuck because it doesn't matter to them.
Not a single.
And they only care when it happens to them personally. That's when people become activists, when it happens to them personally. And that's the fucking problem.
And that's why 9 times out of 10, activism, people get involved too late until there's some serious major tragedy where thousands of people die or millions of people are put off, or it has to be something outlandish that forces a critical mass in one moment to get involved. Anything short of that.
How outlandish could this be? And that's the thing, though. It's like, wow.
But he's only fucking with Black girls.
That's right.
Nobody gives a shit about.
No, not even Black people give a damn about Black women. We already know nobody gives a shit about Black men. But it's just the realization that nobody, not even Black people.
Yeah, no.
All that capping Black people be doing, Black people still don't give a shit about Black women.
Nobody gives a shit about Black women, and they give even less shits about young Black girls. So,
right.
Nobody gives a shit about Black children, period. So, you know, that's where we're at nowadays, where as long as it's only happening to Black people,
nobody cares.
Especially when you add in that internalized white supremacy thing we got going on, you're never going to hit that critical mass. And that's been the problem we've had with activism. Is we're trying to activate a community that refuses to be activated, right? Doesn't care.
The black people in this country are comfortable with their own little space within the system of white supremacy, oppression, violence, all this depression, all this other stuff. As long as their peace is not disturbed.
But what I will say, Joe, is I don't think you or I or anybody else is working is wasting our time. What we're doing.
No, I know it's not, but it feels like it though. When you see this, when you see the extent of that, like when you hear stories about that, 30 years, Larry Nassar, 30 years, like Harvey Weinstein, and of course I know that that's bigger than me, but it makes you feel fucked up, like as a man, like damn, like we really out here producing these dudes for real?
I don't because. I get what you're saying, but for me, I'm not looking at activism as the answer. You know, and we got it. I got to give the solution since I just criticize activism, especially in its modern. Well, I don't believe in modern day activism because social media is bullshit, and all these marches and protests and rallies, all that's bullshit. But what I believe is in culture change, and that doesn't happen overnight. That's a slow. Gradual process, and that's what we're doing.
No, yeah, but it's just damn, I want to speak the shit up because it's just not going fast enough for me, and it's just Because that's exactly what we've been working on, culture change. But it made me think back to our Most group. I've been with Most since we reconnected. Like, I've been messing around with Most for about 10 years now. And Most is a on-campus organization like any other organization. And, you have your interest meeting, all these things here. And all the other organizations that men can sign up for, that'd be deep. But out of a campus, well, you got at least 10,000 men. 6 men out of 10,000 give a damn about stopping sexual and domestic violence. That lets you know that we need a culture change.
Mm-hmm.
Because I say that because we're talking about an organization that's designed for men, by men, to help men become allies and be able to stop sexual and domestic violence. Now, again, I mean, of course, if you do something like that with women, you have a little more women, but the percentage would probably still be around the same because there are more women who don't give a shit than it is women who give a shit. And we're starting to realize that it's not just men who don't give a shit. Because, and we've said this in the past, in order for a culture to exist, men and women have to participate. And that's where we at. And fuck R. Kelly and everybody else who support him.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, man. Ain't no sense to keep beating a dead horse, man. Just
yeah, I mean, R. Kelly. I like beating on R. Kelly, so. But I guess we do need to end the show.
You know, hey, man, just know if you are an adult who will give a shit and you see R. Kelly, remember, it's on site. On site. And if you're an adult who support or defend him, you a piece of shit. Remember that.
At least throw a rock at the motherfucker.
Call him out or something.
Yeah, if you don't want to get up in physical violence, verbal abuse, emotion, there are plenty of ways you can fuck him up on site without getting yourself in trouble for it. If that's what you worry about.
Yeah, man. There it is. Hey, man. Pardon shot.
Power to the people.
There it is. I don't know. This is fucked up. Hey, man. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. This is the Prison Train podcast series. And I would be prompt. We out this shit, so.